John's Gospel. I'd like to look in chapter number 21 as the Lord has laid this on my heart this evening. And I left, told Renee, I said, honey, I don't understand. I'm just going to trust the Lord. He's laid this thought on my heart. I want to try to preach it tonight. And you pray for us. Boy, it'd be a good night if somebody gets saved. I don't know of a better time to give my heart to the Lord than this night. And I'm glad God's still in the saving business. Boy, don't you appreciate these young people singing for the Lord. And tell you about Brother Brady, I sure do appreciate Brother Harold, Miss Joyce Rochester, and the influence they've had on his life. Now, he's raised his family in that atmosphere, and I'm grateful. That God does, He does it right. And I appreciate that a lot. Amen. John chapter number 21. And I want to start reading in verse number 1 this evening. And good to have Brother Van Coker and his good family with us tonight. We're going to bring them in on our mission program. And so we appreciate the opportunity that God has given them, that we may be blessed by helping them. Amen. John 21 this evening, after these things, Jesus Himself again, or He showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Boy, it'll be a cold night to start out at that, amen. And they say unto him, we also go with you. There's a problem with that. Jesus had told Simon Peter to tarry at Jerusalem till he would be endued with power. Simon Peter got a little anxious. And so he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I go fishing. I've noticed this when I capitalize things in my life about me. It's always a failure. And I've noticed this, when people get crazy, there's others that get crazy and go with them. So they say unto him, well, looks like a pretty good idea. We'll just go on off with you. Boy, I don't know how many times somebody called me and said, let's go fishing. I went, should have stayed home. Somebody say amen. The Bible said, and they went forth and entered the ship, and immediately, didn't take them long, that night, they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said these words that brought light to them. Children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing on in the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time together tonight at your house. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that's been sung. God, we thank you tonight that you are a God that is worthy of our praise. Help us in the preaching. God, I sure do need you. I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want to preach a simple message this evening on, I want to be right this time. I want to be right this time. I wonder how many folks have started out and found yourself to be wrong. And I'm noticing this dark time in our country. Seemed like I was in a meeting first of the week, and boy, how my heart seen so many people that is discouraged, and so many people's distracted. Seems like our country's going in directions that we've never seen her go. But I'm going to tell you, it ought to be in our hearts tonight. If it's ever been a time, it ought to be in our hearts. Lord, I want to do it right this time. I got up to read the Word of God, and I heard my grandbaby coughing and strangling. It gets my attention when children can't get their breath. But it also reminds me, as that grandbaby coughed tonight, what great responsibilities that I have in this life that God has entrusted me with. I'm human, and that's what scares the far out of me. I'm scared of my flesh more than I've ever been scared of it. And I'm going to tell you, I got saved in 1981. That's a long time to be saved. But I'm more scared tonight of Ken Bowman than I've ever been scared in all my life. God, help me stay scared of me, that I may rely upon You. I want to say, first of all, tonight, in the preaching by way of outline, I want to share this with us. I won't be long at what I do. But please take in what I got to say tonight. I want to be right on counsel. When I was young, I didn't want nobody to tell me nothing. But the older I've got, I found out the Bible says something about counsel. The Lord told him, He said, if you'd cast the net on the right side, you shall find. I'm glad the Lord is the great counselor tonight. If you don't know how to go or where to go, don't do nothing till the Lord shows you what to do. When in doubt, it ought to be the greatest stop sign in our life. Don't do nothing. God is so big, you can't miss Him. And I'm going to tell you, God knows what's going on when the red light changes out yonder. I don't know about you, but oh, Lord, my soul, I need the right kind of counsel. I want to say I need Bible counsel. It don't matter to me much about men's opinions. Don't mean much to be about men's applause and men's accolades, but I need Bible counsel. That's why it's so important that we got our Bible, and when we meet at Liberty Baptist Church, that the Word of God goes out to give us counsel. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, well, nobody's going to tell me nothing. You're fixing to crash. And I want to say this evening that the Word of God said in Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse number 14. I looked at this evening. The Bible simply says this. He said, counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. Then you're going to write this in your Bible. I am understanding. I have shrinks, what the Lord said. Watch this. Hey, them liberals didn't vote in Obama. By me, kings reign. Look out now. Princes decree justice. By me, princes rule. And nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Watch this. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Now he says this. He simply says, riches and honor are with me. Yeah, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit's better than gold, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths. I want to say something right there. You say, well, God's leading me. Let me tell you, honey, if He ain't leading you in righteousness, God ain't leading you. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 11 and 14, you're talking about an impactful verse, a mighty verse. Proverbs 11:14, underline this thing. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know something, I noticed in the corporate world, when God allowed me to hold a position, I was not successful about who I was. But I was successful because the God of this Bible and the people that I surrounded myself with. I want to say in the leadership at Liberty Baptist Church, this preacher needs you more than I've ever needed you. I need people filled with the Holy Ghost and people that will seek the Lord for direction and guidance and that will help me along life's way. I want to be surrounded with the right kind of people. Oh, how we need counsel. Godly counsel. Young ladies, there's nothing wrong to getting some godly ladies to give you some advice. Young ladies, there's nothing wrong with you and your husband to go to an older couple that you know that love God and are filled with the Holy Ghost and let them give you some good godly counsel. Counsel is wisdom. I hear a lot of people's opinions, but I need counsel. And I can tell you this, godly counsel will always wind up in this Bible. Oh, tonight I want to be right in my counsel. I want God to lead me and help me and direct my paths. Watch this in the Bible, Proverbs 12:15. What a wonderful verse. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But watch this now. He that hearkeneth unto wise counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Not only should we hear counsel, we ought to heed counsel. Listen to what God's got to say. And then in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse 15, another great verse on counsel. He said in Proverbs 22 and verse number 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor increases riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the word to the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that they trust may be in the Lord. I've made known to thee this day, even to thee. I want to be right on counsel. Secondly, I want to be right on conflict. I was thinking as I was driving downtown Bowden tonight, I would love to tell everybody you'd never have no conflict, but if you live in this world long enough, you're going to have some conflicts. And I want to be right in conflict. I want to be right in arguments. I don't like to argue. I don't like to argue because Ken shows up in an argument. There's a whole lot of Ken in this suit coat tonight. Now, I just don't like to get angry. I don't like to get argumentative. What's what the Bible says? I want to be right in my conflict. Matthew 5, verse number 38. Anybody want to get right tonight? Oh, I need to be right in my conflict. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 38. Here, the Lord had something to say about conflict. He said, you've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek. Well, sometimes the Bible is hard return to him the other also. If any man will sue you at the law, take away your coat and let him have your cloak also. O Lord Jesus. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him, twain. Y'all remember that time Brother Eddie Davis came here and preached on that verse 41? Brother Mike, you remember that? Going the extra mile. What a preacher, Brother Eddie Davis. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Oh, it's getting harder. Do good to them that hate you. Oh, Lord, that's hard. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be, here's that word, children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth out rain just. Now look at verse 46. If you love them which love you, I ain't got no problem with that. What reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? I'll say tonight that it's a big difference in protection and retaliation. I want you to understand, if somebody kicks in your door to harm your family, you've got all the rights in this world and this Bible to protect your family. But oh, tonight, I want to be right in my conflict. You ever met somebody that just loves to fuss all the time? I mean, they just love it. Ain't no sense starting in it because it's just going to be a fuss. Boy, I want to be right in my conflict. You know, a lot of you love to have the last word. Won't you just say, I'm sorry? And you'd end a whole lot of conflict. What it does, it goes against our ego. Y'all ever got your mouth opened, wish you could have shut it? Tonight, we got us a little three-month-old cat. I went and bought me a dog collar and put on the cat. That's how redneck I am. And it's a little big. I put it in the last notch, Miss Pat. And today I sat on the edge of the bed with Miss Renee getting ready to go to church, and all of a sudden, I thought that cat had a demon in him. He started running around, circling and squealing and screaming. He ran on the dresser, knocking his head on the dresser. And I looked, and that cat got his mouth open on that collar, and he couldn't get his mouth back closed. Reminded me of a whole lot. My mouth flew open, got hung in my collar. You say, what'd you do? I told Miss Renee, I said, hold him real still. I pulled out my pocket knife. She said, don't kill that cat. I said, I'm just going to cut his collar off. Boy, you talking about freedom. That cat followed me back in my study when I cut that thing out of his mouth. Oh, ain't it something? I want to be right on my conflict. And then I want to say this. Not only I want to be right about my counsel, right about my conflict, I want to be right about my conscience. I want you to look at a good Bible verse now. I'm not going to preach a lot longer, but I want you to look in Acts 24:16. I want you to underline this verse. And I wish you'd look at it some this week in Acts 24 and verse number 16. I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say about our conscience. Now, in Acts 24 and 16 here, we find out that the great apostle Paul is saying something. He said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. You know, a conscience is a lot like an alarm clock. It wakes us out of our sleep. A bothered conscience is a lot like rocks in our bed. I like what one old writer had to say about that thing of a conscience, Brother Jerry. It said, a conscience God has put within us to be like a barking dog. And Brother Tim, I hate it when I lay down and that dog goes to barking where I lay down at. I want my conscience right. Look what Paul said. He said, I want my conscience right with my God. That's first. And two, I want my conscience right with my fellow man. I want to say our word ought to be our word. We ought not have to sign a document in order to uphold our word. Bible said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Whatever happens is just an old country handshake and people back up what they had to say. I can tell you about people in this church that's had businesses and people would tell them they'd do this and they didn't do it. Well, they lied. Let your yea be yea. You know, when I lay down tonight, I want my conscience right with God and I want it right with you. I want it right with my neighbor. God's made me go to apologize sometimes that I thought I shouldn't be the one to apologize. I want to be right on my conscience. And then I want to be right on my cash. You say, why you say that? Well, I want you to notice this. Jesus taught Matthew 6, verse number 1. Watch your Bible now, Matthew 6. Won't be right on my cash. Ain't got a lot, but what I do got, I want to be right about it. Somebody say amen. Matthew 6. And verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no respect or no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, don't sound a trumpet before everybody, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that thine alms may be in secret, thy Father, oh, the Lord. Lord just showed me something there on that closed door. I've been trying to work on another door. I just found it by preaching tonight. Thine alms may be in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In other words, he said, if you'll do it for me, if you'll put what I've told you to do according to this Bible, if you'll put it in... Listen what the Word of God said, folks. Listen to your preacher tonight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Tonight, I want to be right about my cash. And then I want to say lastly, it may seem odd to you, but I mean this with all my heart. This is where I want to labor just a minute. I want to be right at my crossing. Now, in Acts chapter number 7, I want you to look at something about Stephen tonight. Stephen found himself being right. Now, Stephen, in verse number 48, he preaches a real good sermon. Here's a man filled with the Holy Ghost, and God sets him afire preaching, and he's preaching to a great group of Sadducees and Pharisees and a whole bunch of religious hypocrites. And this is what he said. They got him on the platform, and he didn't trim off his outline. He said, this is what I want to tell y'all. He said, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He said, y'all worship in these buildings. He said, let me tell you, when we leave, God ain't in them buildings. God's inside us. I don't know why some Baptists get so tore up about their building. Don't move the piano now. Grandma put it over there. And don't set my pew. We put it in there. Let me tell you something. This ain't our building. God don't inhabit this building when we're gone. God inhabits our temples. And so, he said in verse 49, heaven's my throne, earth's my footstool. What house will you build me? I wonder what kind of house you're building for the Lord. Hath not my hand made all these things? He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Then verse 54, when they heard these things, they was cut to the heart. That's what preaching ought to do. It ought to cut her heart. I wonder, has a sermon touched your heart lately? Then he said this, they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Little did Saul know by this action, God was fixing to save him and do something in him that nobody had ever done. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Now, it's hard to throw rocks at somebody when they're calling on God. And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. I want to ask you something tonight as I close. Brother Brady, I wish y'all would come tonight. I wish you'd come and sing me a song of invitation. I want to ask you this. Are you going to be right at the crossing? Can I say this? Will what you got do when you dying? He looked toward heaven. Heaven open. Calling upon his God. Can I say this tonight to our church and to me? Stay filled. Stay focused. Stay faithful. We're going to cross one of these days. I'd like to ask you something this evening. I told Brother Mike in prayer room, God is wanting to do something tonight. I'd like to tell you, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been doing it. Jesus would save you tonight. You just bowed his feet. Lord, save me. It'd be the grandest day in your life that ever happened. you'd just come to the Lord tonight. See, he loves you. Some of you need counsel. Need direction. I know no better place than in this book to get you direction tonight. This altar's open as this family sings. Wonder would you mind him? If you need to be saved tonight, I'd come running. There'd be some pray with you. Maybe some of you need direction tonight. You come as we sing. Just mind the Lord. I want to be right on my counsel.